Listen, firstly, I need to pass an apology of the acting minister and the DG, who are both on leave. And
both on leave?
Yes, the minister, our acting minister.
Yes, and the DG. What have you been doing that caused them to take leave?
So I've been appointed the acting DG. But also to pass an apology of the deputy minister who is currently attending a cabinet committee meeting.
Okay.
Chair, the COO, we will lead us on the presentation. Just to say that we have responded to the issues, Chair, that were raised in our last engagement with the committee. Of course, also, Chair, due to the short notice of this meeting from our side, there are certain areas where we think we could have improved on. And I think what we will do, Chair, we will present a comprehensive report on some of those areas where there's limited information. But we'll try to in detail respond to some of the issues that
and you'll point them out as we go along.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. we will just like to take you through a presentation response to issues that you raised, and as the acting DG has said, there are places where there are gaps that we will, depending on the time you will give us, come back to you with more comprehensive reports. The structure of our presentation is such that I thought somebody would be doing that. Just we will start with the purpose, of course, that is known to your good selves, and we thought that in addition to the issues that you had asked us, we would also give you a summary of how we are performing in terms of expenditure for this current financial year. I will not read through the purpose, but let me go straight to the responses to the questions that you raised with us. One of the questions was a clarity with respect to cooperative governance, relation to DCOG and what is traditional affairs. And I'm sure by now honourable members are aware that the ministry is COGTA, and that this ministry comprises two departments, DCOG, the Department of Cooperative Governance, and the Department of Traditional Affairs. The latest in terms of this arrangement is that Treasury is now engaging a process of separating even the votes for the two departments. That is what we were told as late as last week. In terms of the identified legislation impeding the service delivery, you had required that we give you a response by June, and unfortunately I must say that as we received this information of coming here, the person who prepared and purported to have sent this information, we could not get hold of her. So this is one information that we will come back to the committee with. And I suppose it would be ideal for us to make sure, even if it was sent another one, just in case. The community works program is also another program that we are going to have to come to you comprehensively about. But with respect to the issue of how it is configured, especially in traditional communities, we have sat down as the management of the department, and we have said that the community works program needs to be managed at the local level, and that at the local level, the local management committee of any site that we establish CWP at must have representatives on behalf of the traditional leadership of that particular locality as part of the management. This is to assist also, given the fact that we do not yet have a comprehensive or reliable in the indigency register, but sometimes it is better to go to work with the chiefs who will be able to point you to people who should be the beneficiaries in terms of these programs. The next question that you asked, honorable members, was the issue with respect to if we're
just on that determine that, then we should take care again. Because the risk of us going asking questions to go along with it, we might stress that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The role of COFCA, the question was if COFCA is playing coordination role, who is doing the implementation? We would like to present once more to the honourable committee that yes indeed, COFCA does coordination, and that the IDPs that local municipalities develop pull everything together, and that directly as a department. We should follow the rent insofar as the MIG's program is concerned, the municipal infrastructure grant is concerned. So whereas we are coordinating, we are not just a non-participatory coordination. We also have to go in and also direct the departments in terms of the municipalities in terms of the use of MIG. To this end, we have strengthened our development planning arm, and I must say that they started this financial year already going to every municipality. They're just left with one province to go to municipalities to interactively deal with the reviews of the IDPs, especially with respect to the extent to which MIG is planned for in terms of infrastructure for both development and maintenance. The question of formal function of the IGR structures, especially formed to oversee the implementation of Outcome 9. We have got a number of structures that we participate and some we lead. The IGR forums that we participate in are the ones with the presidency, especially with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as National Treasury. When we came here, we said that it was planned for June. I must report that it has already happened. We're dealing here with the issue of the single window of coordination, and we have particularly established a task team comprising of all key sectors with the Director General of the Department of Human Settlement and the Department of Cooperative Government being the co-chairs of that task team. They do joint chairing, and they coordinate other key sectors that impact, such as the water affairs and others. There is a joint program of action that specifically deals with the outcome that is driven by the Department of Human Settlement, and we are chairing that technical joint program committee. The next question was the department, how the extent to which the department has understand an exercise of assessing its place of delivery against the 2014 targets, and also especially with respect to whether they are achievable or not, and what is the strategy to achieve them. Honourable Chair, 2014 is the goalpost, and as the department, our strategic plan reviews all concentrate on planning from 2014 backwards from 2014 to make sure that we have got commitments and plans that will make us achieve the 2014 goals. I must just say that we recently had, that was last week, a two-day departmental strategic planning session, which is planning from 2014 to 2012-13, in order to say what is the balance of in terms of targets and how do we achieve them. Specifically, the Director General has put to all of us who are responsible for the different programs in the department that we need to produce plans of how we're going to do things differently in order to achieve the 2014 targets. So when you receive our APP for next year, you would see that the every program will be speaking to those issues. I must also hasten to say that the current APP also seeks to a very great extent to deal with issues of achieving the 2014 targets. We have had a committee which particularly deals with the program of action going to 2014. I must just give a typical example that relates to the question that you have raised with respect to whether the targets are achievable or not, given our commitments to 2014, for instance, in Operation Clean Audit. We have now put a plan today. Today another team is sitting with the select committee to present our plan in terms of that that particular program to achieve the target, given the fact that we are starting very low at 42% when we are supposed to be at 100% in 2014. The next question is... The next question... My apologies. What was the acronym? Operation Clean Audit?
No, don't worry. We've long been past that one.
Okay. My apologies. It's not professional. I really humbly apologize. What else is the department doing to contribute towards the reduction of corruption except the amendment of the Systems Act and the establishment of the Anti-Corruption Inspectorate? Chairperson, I must say that this is extremely difficult, and we do not think that as a department we are performing up to the level that you would expect us. As a result, our inspectorate team work hand in hand with the special inspection unit, the special inspectorate unit of the Hawks, in terms of laying out the plans and dealing with difficult cases. However, I'm saying that this is one of our weakest links in terms of up to today's output. The response of us was in the establishment of the inspectorate, and at its inception, we did say that it will not be a prosecuting arm, but it will be a watchdog that will then hand over prosecution to those who are trained to do it. Therefore, their role is mainly to get information. We therefore have got an MOU that is signed to manage MIG to follow the money provided by National Treasury, and we are dealing with the role we are contributing as a department towards advocacy and ethics management. This MOU is together is with the Hawks, where we are saying they must particularly assist us with respect to things that get done with MIG that does not fall within what MIG is lent for. I'm happy to say that we have managed at long last to appoint the head of the inspectorate, and therefore we hope that this unit will begin to run with the speed that it is expected to. The next question is, what is the department doing to ensure that the decay of infrastructure does not surpass the efforts towards providing basic services? Honourable members, you know, when we come here, the best way is to acknowledge to your good selves where we are weak, and this is why I'm pointing out these things. This is one other area in which we are weak, and not necessarily as a department, but I would hasten to say that as the entire country, in terms of balancing maintenance with development. The backlog insofar as maintenance is concerned is huge, and as a result, the budget that goes into maintenance is not necessarily sufficient to deal with the backlog. So we are saying that the development of infrastructure must follow the business the business planning of infrastructure and the capacity to unlock the economic potential and enable efficient provision of services is our focus at the moment. However, I still repeat that we're not doing as well as one would expect us to do. The next question is on with respect to irregular expenditure, Honourable Chair, and to this end, we are saying that the specific question, the concern that the committee raised, one was based on the outcomes of the audit with respect to where the Utenona has highlighted concerns, but also to say that we've got supply chain management, the SCM section, that needs to be staffed with knowledgeable people in terms of the related legislation. The department, as you may be aware by now, does have a challenge with irregular expenditure. And we have the accounting general, the DG, has gone out of his way to deal with people who have caused the department irregular expenditure, and there are some areas in which we are working together with Treasury to get the necessary support and help especially with respect to irregular expenditure that cannot be regulated by the accountant officer himself. We have got an action plan for the current financial year by the supply chain unit, and they are fully capacitated to execute a plan that will make sure that we deal with the backlog with irregular expenditure, but also a preventative plan going forward to try and have a clean books in terms of irregular expenditure. With regards to recruitment and placement of staff within the department, especially the urgent appointment of the head of the National Disaster Management Center. Chairperson, I'm afraid I'm not coming with good news. When we were here, we were at a level where we had said that we were going to hold interviews. Interviews indeed were held. Unfortunately, we could not find any suitable candidate, and therefore the minister has given instructions that we must try to headhunt. We, even to an extent of having people seconded from us, from other stakeholders that we work with. As a result, this is one unit that we will need to come to you with a comprehensive report and presentation on the issues that you have raised about National Disaster Management Center. Yes, the internal audit head has been appointed. The appointment was done in April, and she duly assumed duties in May. So internal audit does have a head. The economic development initiatives, in particular the formation of district forums on LED, your question was, have they been budgeted for? Honorable Chairperson, the direct question is, the direct answer is that we particularly for 2012-13 only, we have concentrated on trying to get a budget here. We hope that Treasury will agree with us. But with respect to the current budget, we are trying to establish these district forums from the budget within the branch responsible for infrastructure and economic development. So basically, these are indirectly budgeted for, particularly for just the establishment. We are going further to say we need to budget for their functionality so that we can see to it that they are functional.
Okay. Just hold on there. I think let's take quick questions and comments. Members, please be mindful that we must complete the rest of that stuff. And we still have the other stuff on the state of fire services and so on. Because I think that's part of a very crucial one. So, as we ask now, let's do so and then come back to proceed from that section. Any questions, comments so far? Marty, Peter, Wendy, James.
Thank you, Chair. The first question that I would like to ask is particularly the last point regarding the LED that it's been budgeted for. The explanation and not precise what we were asking for. What we were asking for basically was the split. What is the percentage that has been paid to the project management unit? What is paid to the managers of LED? And what is actually paid for the people that are carrying out with the work? Regarding the irregular expenditure, we'd like to have more information regarding the irregular expenditure. And when it came to the explanation of traditional affairs as well as the department, they were going to, the comment made was that it will be taken to the traditional leaders who will point them to the right individuals who should be receiving. Surely there's a criteria that they need to comply with and not determined by the chief who should be getting indigency.
Thanks, Jim. I'll just go to the first page on the third row. When you were speaking to this issue, you said there's no indigency register. Now, if one goes, this issue of indigence and their registers and the obligations of municipalities to do that. Are you saying that nationally there's no indigency registry for the country, or are you saying municipalities do not have indigent registers? There's a big difference between the two, and if they are obliged to have indigent registers in terms of indigent policy, what are you doing to ensure that they do in fact have such registers? On the second page, when you're talking about the 2014 targets, I understand the process he's talking about here, but what I didn't hear clearly enunciated was whether those targets have been broken down into obviously shorter period milestones, KPIs and milestones, and whether they are currently being met. So whatever your target is for 2014, page 2, the second row, the 2014 targets. So if you have a target for 2014, the question is, obviously when you set the target, you have KPIs toward that target.
Mm-hmm.
Are those KPIs currently being maintained? Are you on target now in respect to the 2014 targets, or are you behind or ahead?
Mm-hmm.
The next one below that is about this anti-corruption story and the inspectorate. I just want to know whether you have a clear understanding of what the problem is. I mean, when we talk about anti-corruption, it can mean a million things. It could talk about nepotism, it could be fraud, it could be manipulated tenders, it could be theft, lots of things. What precisely is the problem that you want to address in respect of the anti-corruption measures? And the next one on the decaying infrastructure. This issue of maintenance has been an issue we've raised with the department year in and year out. Why is it permitted that municipalities will underspend the maintenance? You allow them to do so. They get capital grants, they put up these wonderful new things, and they pack up after 10 minutes and the old stuff is not being attended to. Can you not have some, I know there are guidelines, I think it was 8% or something, I can't remember the figure, 8% of capital grants will have to be implemented. Can't you make it a mandatory requirement that a percentage of your capital grant has to be spent on maintenance, no exceptions, unless exceptions are granted? That was good enough now.
The decaying infrastructure. We've been talking about the department's involvement with the CETA, the local government CETA, but in terms of infrastructure, the maintenance, the decaying infrastructure, has there been any, besides local government CETA, the attention seems to be more in finance, finance training. Has there been any contact maybe with the seeker, the construction seeker, in terms, because when we speak to the construction seeker or the other seekers, they say that the roles are they cross over, especially in terms of skill skills. So has there been any contact with the construction seeker? And does the program, the department have a program maybe in place to deal specifically with scarce skills, artisans, in order to get them into the municipality? Thanks, Jeff.
I noticed that the questions are all over them with your other people. Just noting that. It's your other body here, not me. I agree with you. I'm just observing.
And we've got problems.
You have many caps, yes. Next. Before that. Then you kill me. And I'm not going to allow you. So speak it.
No, I'm not a killer. I'm gentle. With regard to anti-corruption initiatives, could you just clarify this MOU with the Hawks? What exactly will the Hawks be looking at? Am I right in believing that you're saying that they will investigate that MIG grants are spent on what they're supposed to be spent on? If that is so, are they just looking at the expenditure of MIG grants for the current financial year? Are they looking for other financial years too? And then what is going to happen when they find that people have misspent as MIGs?
Thanks, Chairman. Only the very same question. I just want to add and check the inspectorate team that has been formed from the department. I just want to check. They are going to investigate corruption cases since from when? For this current year or the previous year. I just want to check on that. And also on the infrastructure, aging infrastructure, I just want to check the working relationship with the Department of Public Works. Is there any program that is in place, which is a budgeted program to deal on this aging infrastructure and its maintenance to municipalities? Let's check.
On that inspectorate, I heard that the head has been appointed, but that implies that the body doesn't exist yet. Once the head is appointed, you appoint the rest. Is that the case? Or is there a structure already? And if so, how many people? And what skills are they? What is their remit?
Okay.
Shari, I want to note that Cocker says there was late notice, but we'll talk about that a little later on, reserve for later on. Because, you see, I'm concerned with the, maybe we should ask in a way that we, the sort of answers we had. On infrastructure, I remember in all the meetings that we had with the minister, one of the things he really spoke a lot about, and I haven't heard it coming up, is the support for municipal comprehensive infrastructure development plans. We should, as I understood it, be a response to many of the problems that were identified with infrastructure, its provision, extension, including maintenance. So I would like to hear more about that. When we speak about corruption, including the Auditor General's issues, I would be happier if we are specific. For example, when the Auditor General, I noticed that in the municipalities that we visited, for example, there was clear indication in the Auditor General's report, when ahead of us going to those municipalities, the Auditor General would say there was 140 million irregular expenditure in Mangaung. He would state there were four things that were tenders that were irregularly, whatever, and so on and so on. Now, if you look at the pattern in the municipalities, when you say when he summarizes, the Auditor General says gross violation of the law, okay, and specifically the MFMA, and specifically supply chain management. Now, when we put up a map here and say, for example, in the following municipalities, this is the pattern. This is what's happening in these areas. These are the interventions that we have taken to deal with these issues. Such a comprehensive response, because I think unless we do that, we are not going to be able to make any useful progress if we remain in generalities and so on. So that's the one. In other words, the quality of your response is going to be very useful. We also would like to know who you have employed as an inspector. What is the person's capabilities? And what did you say you were looking for that kind of person? So give us a detail of the plan of that section of the work that we are going to do. We note it is in the turnaround strategy, but it's not to the extent to which we are asking now for details about who the person is. What is the? In other words, not the. We don't want to know whether he plays jazz like jazz. I mean, like, but we really want to know what strength did you choose to employ that person? What capabilities is that person bringing to the job? So that we have a broader sense of the structure. Now, the coordinator role and the IDPs and the invitation of the other departments to play a role. Here too, I think we really need. I seem not to hear frequently enough. In fact, the Municipal Finance Management Act requires that provincial and national departments must indicate by April what resources they are making available to municipalities, so that when they finalize their budget by June, July, they do so on the basis of what they know is coming from this provincial department and that national department. That is integrated into their budgets and so on. This is one of the things that was done as an advance to deal with the conflicting or unaligned, to deal with the alignment of national budget and local budget. So we really would like to get a sense of the alignment of that one. So I think your work with the Treasury, we would like to see a pattern in this thing. So for this one specifically, I would request you to go back and do a thorough examination of what is the picture for the last 3 years of implementation of the MFMA provisions around this specific issue. Because, you see, it speaks to the question of the alignment of budget. But we never talk about the interventions that were done to deal with that problem and whether we are succeeding their implementation and so on. We can speculate now, do an educated guess of what we think is happening, but the statistical evidence-based response would be very useful. So on that one, I think that it would be very helpful if we get it that way. Okay, let me stop there. Go through your responses, and then we will proceed to the next area of questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We're taking note of instances where we have to come back to you with a more comprehensive report, and I'm just going to, as we go through the responses, we'll also...
Yeah, I'm very sorry. I couldn't interrupt you.
Well, seriously,
yeah,
I couldn't have left this one out. You see, we need a comprehensive response. We are not happy. We have said so before, that we are not happy with the quality of attention we are giving to disaster management. It includes, of course, the issue that you're reporting in on here, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of whether, for example, in each province they have a disaster management center and whether those centers are operational, including at the district level, in other words, it's effectively the evaluation of the Disaster Management Act and its implementation to date. And we are trying to do so to evaluate our state of readiness for disasters, given the changes in climate change and the extremes of weather that are every day illustrating what we can expect. As we speak, these frequent closures by snow there hasn't happened with such frequency before. So we are talking about something very serious here that is underway. And we would like to really hear the department comprehensively on that question. Thanks. Yeah, Wendy, quickly.
Chair, can I be naughty? Just the department's view, Chairman. We know that the state municipalities are responsible for the disaster management center. Now, what we find is that there may be a building owned by the municipality, but because it's the infrastructure of the municipality, the district usually doesn't have their own building. District municipalities have to put up a disaster management center. But sometimes it's very difficult for the district municipality to use the building of the local municipality, and we know the dynamics involved there. So you find a district municipality utilizing or putting up a building to dread costs when there's a building that the municipality is not utilizing to its fullest potential. How can the department get involved in negotiating a settlement or an agreement between a district and a category B municipality? Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, you're really not. But
for later, if it's not answered now, Chief, for later.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Most of the difficult questions I'm going to ask my boss to respond to. That is the advantage of speaking first. Chairperson, with respect to the details of budgets on LED, as well as the irregular expenditure and committee works program, I think we need to come to you with dedicated reports. So we need to give detailed reports of those. The reason for that being that in terms of the details of the budget for the LED, at this present moment, I wouldn't be able to disaggregate and say this is what is budgeted for this and that, and the comprehensive question that the Honorable Member asked, we will come back to you. With respect to the irregular expenditure, of course you have already said that we need to come back to you with more information. This is a very difficult report, but we will have to bring it, because ordinarily you don't have to spend your time talking about the irregular expenditure in government when government is so regulated. The community works program, the participation of the chiefs, I just need to clarify what I said there. When I was saying that the chief will be able to assist, you know, in rural areas, chiefs are very respected. When there is a representative of a chief coming in, they do not only do issues of solving conflicts with respect to who should participate and who should not participate. I just gave one example. But in most instances, they come in with that authority to assist, especially with respect to the progress and everything. So where you involve them, and I have had a practical experience of that, you have got minimal labor disputes within your projects. Because every time the chief's representative will bring in the traditional leadership authority into those usual disputes. The indigent register. Chairperson, there are indigent registers. I think when you go to, if you go to municipalities will tell you we do have indigent registers. Our difficulty is that these indigent registers are not updated, so you every time need to check against, have an authority that can verify what is in there. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because indigenous registers have to do with poverty of human beings, and human beings are dynamic. You are poor now, but later on you get better. So you are not like a bee, you are born in that and you die in that. So that is the difficulty with the indigenous register. The National Indigenous Register has got the same challenge. The department has gone out, I'm sure honorable members might have seen in the papers around May, June, where we had advertised because we want to update the work that was done before through the AU funding of having ward profiles and National Indigenous Register updated. So we would like to do that because every now and then when it comes to these things that involve human beings, you've got to go over and over again. I'm afraid I didn't give that detail. I was trying to run, but thank you very much for bringing me back. The key performance indicators with respect to the 2014 targets. The question is, are you on target? Yes, by and large, we are on target. There are a few instances where we are running behind the target. A particular example that I gave about Operation Clean Audit is one example where we are running behind target and we would like to double up to make sure that we do achieve targets. We understand that those targets are non-negotiable, so we will have to make them somehow. We've got to deliver on them, and this is why we had this dedicated two days last week to particularly deal with this. I must also add that the Director General has got a system on a monthly basis. He meets each and every one of us. I go there as the Chief Operations Officer to deal with the performance of the entire department and to raise with him areas where there are hiccups. And then the DDG's responsible, the Deputy Director General, responsible for those branches also come in to say, this is my plan to make sure that we do. So we do have monthly performance plans and monthly performance bilaterals with the DG, all of us trying to work towards the 2014. Anti-corruption, Chairperson, indeed, the Honourable Member is right. When you deal with corruption, you are dealing with a very complex issue, and one has to tell where you're standing all the time. I want to propose that we come back to you with a response on this one, because I don't want to have a wild guess in terms of the original idea when setting up this unit. So we will come back to you. The interventions that the department have put in place towards making sure that municipalities do spend some money, a percentage of their budget on maintenance. Chairperson, I'm going to ask Temba to elaborate on this, but I just want to say that there are challenges at municipal level with respect to grants. When money gets to municipalities, the monies get used haphazardly. We do have instances where municipalities, for an example, will take MIG grant and pay salaries. So we do have that. We need to be stronger in that and intervene. And this is why the minister has decided to have what he called the technical support units in all provinces, where we have got people specifically who have employed for now. Program coordinators who will act there at the executive management level as the eyes and ears of the department with respect to MIG, and their performance agreements have got MIG as one of the standing KPI. Also, we have got people who are trained in the build industry, and people who are project managers. At least we've got three people in every province as we speak. But Chairperson, in terms of the relationships with the construction sitter, the sitter with the C, that's what I call it. Let us come back to you with a written response. But you also said, what is it that the department is doing in terms of the scarce skills? We have got a budget put aside, and we started with a bursary specifically to train engineers and technicians. We intend to, and the planning includes following up this cohort of people up to a point where they are incubated, they are mentored, and they qualify and are distributed into the municipalities. One of the conditionalities in the contract that they sign with the department is that they are going to serve in the rural areas, in the areas where they come from. We also are busy establishing a municipal infrastructure MISA. The SPV, the special purpose vehicle for municipal infrastructure support agency. And this municipal infrastructure support agency, as you would be aware, is going to take responsibility for those engineers who were linked to Sienza Manje project. And these engineers are those ones that, remember, they are in the three categories. One of the categories, I will not take long to bore you with them. One of the categories is the professionals, whose responsibility, in addition to execution of projects, will also be to mentor the coming in students. Because to qualify as an engineer, you finish your theory, but you definitely, before you get your certificate, have to do practicals. So these people will do that. But as a department, we are saying, let's not stop at that. Let's have an incubation period for these people. That is why within Sienza Manje, as you may be aware, we have got the three categories of people. So the highest being the professionals, followed up by the technicians, and followed up by the ones who are the learners. So that's what the department is doing, and there is a lot of progress in that way. The actual relationship of the anti-corruption unit and the Hawks, it's not only to look into how MIG is spent. I was just giving an example, and I'm giving the example of MIG, honourable members, because when you look deeper, you would find that there is a lot of corruption arises from this particular grant, and some of this, as raised by the Auditor General, as you rightfully said, honourable chair, they arise from the manner in which tenders get awarded, but worse still, the extent to which the work that was supposed to be done gets done. So it goes even deeper than that. Now, what these people would do then is that they do sampling of these projects, drill deep, and if they see any ill doing, they follow it up, and in consultation and collaboration with the SIU. They follow the rent and the intention, and this is what the minister has given us an instruction to say, when you follow the rent, when you come back, we must have it. So that is basically that. In terms of the working relationships, the scope with respect to exactly what is it that you wanted to do with this, I said we'll come back. But let us also come back, Honorable Chair, and you are right to say that let us basically come back with facts in terms of who is there and what is their capabilities, what is their qualifications, if we may say so. Maybe without just saying it's a VA such, maybe to say these are the skills that the person has. I'm not also able, and I wouldn't like to say my acting DG would know the exact number of people who are employed in there. So we'll bring that as a comprehensive report. The support for municipalities to in terms of municipal comprehensive infrastructure plans, I'm sure colleague Temba will be able to add to even add practical experiences. But in terms of the department, the latest development is that the special purpose vehicle, which is now called the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, will be targeting especially smaller municipalities where there are no skills, to deploy people there and to have people helping the municipalities with the comprehensive infrastructure plans and the implementation thereof. The coordination role, yes, I agree. We will come back with a written response. Honourable members, maybe the I think that this was you, Chair, where you are talking about the extent to which the budget alignment is achieved. There are exciting developments which might get us out of the woods. We will share that with you. And the developments are between ourselves, Presidency and Treasury. There is a task team dealing with this particularly, so we'll give you a report on that matter, a written report on that matter. A dedicated report on the evaluation of the Disaster Management Act and how it is implemented, we will definitely bring you the report. Be mindful of the fact that I'm not sure whether I wanted to mention this and I put it in my head, you know, when you're standing before your employer, it's not easy. The National Disaster Management Center, in terms of skills, is one of our weak links. I hope I have said that. But we will definitely come back to you in terms of the report that takes us out of the woods and begin to show what we are doing. I would like colleague Temba also to deal with the issue of the infrastructure belonging to a municipality with the district having to set up infrastructure for disaster management. I think he has direct experiences that relate to that. Honourable Chair, I hope I have left colleague Temba with only three questions, so I'm not too bad.
You must leave that for us to decide.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the CEO has covered most of the issues. Maybe just to add on some of the issues. Just on the 2014 target, I think the CEO has touched on how we have positioned ourselves internally as a department in terms of how we position ourselves to ensure that we will meet the target. But externally, in terms of the programs now, the outcome line, the output around the access to basic services, all those targets. What Cabinet has done now, they've taken a decision to establish the task teams, which by end of September must produce operational plans. These operational plans, it's a special targeting of 21 district municipalities, which is where you have the highest backlog, and also issues around the eradication of informal settlement. So there is a program which as part of maybe reporting on outcome 9, we can also present to this committee in terms of the work that we're doing around that. Mm-hmm. Just to add also on the issue of anti-corruption, there is a task team consisting of the SIU, the HOG, intelligence, DPP, the public prosecution, which basically is looking at the investigation on local government. But we have been participating also in that task team, where from our side we bring in information that we get from the AG's reports, information that we got through the assessment that we did of municipalities. And that work is continuing, the investigation. I think on the issue of operations and maintenance, Chair, the difficulty with this area is that from the Treasury side, they've reported that in terms of the budget format, they don't have a separate line item that reflects repairs and maintenance. And they say this is an accounting issue. In fact, they are currently working on a municipal standard chartered account, which they will complete by 2019. But in the interim, what they've done, they've issued a circular number 55, which is an attempt in terms of providing guidelines on how municipalities can spend on operations and maintenance. But what we have done, in addition to this, Chair, we have also established a trust in with National Treasury, where we're looking at looking at addressing measures in terms of lack of funding and budgeting around issues of operations and maintenance going forward.
Let me say this to you on that one. When I speak to municipalities, their response is, no, we do budget for maintenance. But hey, because you underfund us, we have no options but to use that money for urgent, immediate issues that we are unable to not do anything about because they are happening within our municipal area. And by the time, if we do get any money, it's so inadequate, it doesn't replace the money we use for maintenance. At least that's one of their responses that I've heard from them saying so. And I don't know how we are going to do battle around it, but I suspect one of the solutions is a correct, this is a give and take, the sorting out of proper financial management, the proper funding of municipalities. Okay, Mati, do you want to respond to that?
Just to add on to that, Mr. Chair, as well, there is a line item in each of the municipalities for repairs and maintenance. So I don't accept that, you know, there's some of them, as you were saying, that there's no line item. There is definitely a line item under the operational expenditure. Firstly, secondly, where the problems are also coming in on repairs and maintenance is where funding is provided to municipalities for infrastructure or build, but like community centres and community halls and libraries, etc., etc., etc. But there's no maintenance budget attached to them. So these municipalities are expected to add on and on and on new items, but there's no additional funding coming to them. It's all good and well to give them capital expenditure and incomes and so on to build things, but where is the repairs and maintenance budget? That should be linked to a repairs and maintenance budget when you're going to fight funding like that.
Yes. And then we go to the next set of questions that I
have. Chair, I mean, I had the same concern. You know, if you take, for example, percentage, there are guidelines for percentage of the budget that should be spent on salaries, say, and percentages on this and that. I really do think this is an issue where Treasury and yourselves need to be much stricter in terms of making some of these guidelines more mandatory. It's actually a crisis. Because when you don't maintain, as you know, the cost of then having to do the job once the infrastructure has collapsed, you're doubling your costs. So the top of maintenance is no glamour. And if you're a municipality and you're delivering a new project, you deliver a new project that's nice and sexy, you can say, we're handing over a project. Coming along and fixing the pipes down the road, there's no glamour to it. So I do think it needs to be something that is not left to the discretion, too much discretion, particularly where there's abject failure.
I think it's also linked to the quality of workmanship. In other words, the purchasing decisions. As the engineers told us, that the people who are making decisions about what materials to procure for infrastructure often choose the cheapest nonsense, and in no time it requires maintenance, and often it can't even be really maintained, it must be replaced completely. So the roots of the problem are manifold. So we need to examine them from all those angles, so that when we address them, it's really a comprehensive addressing, so that engineers must make those decisions. Because they presumably will be making decisions that are mindful of socialist Africa's good corp as dear corp. Okay? We request that you move to the next set of questions that are left here.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the next set of questions on page, starting from page 7, deals with both the
your computer has no numbers, I noticed here, but we'll donate to you from Parliament. numbering systems.
The numbering is done in yellow. I realize that yellow is difficult.
Yeah.
That 7 is yellow.
It's not only men who are colorblind, you too are colorblind.
I must admit that I fall within the disability, disabled people with respect to sight.
difficult to see
here,
okay.
These are the issues of the disaster management and the issues of the CWP, Community Works Program. I would like to submit that we put this in the comprehensive report that we say we will bring. The questions relate to different disasters, and they go on to page 8. in terms of the specific disasters, I would rather that we come with that comprehensive report to the committee, and Honourable Chair, the committee will tell us how long are you giving us to come up with that response. Okay, Chair, I note that. I note that, so you would get them very fast. The DG will decide. The next set of questions on page 9 is the inputs with respect to the extent to which the department planned to persuade private business to buy in and participate in the proposed local economic development initiatives. The direct response to this is that the minister pronounced on a number of projects that he called flagship projects. One of them is a project called Business Adopt a Municipality. And the implementation of that project, the execution of that project, will see different businesses adopting municipalities to assist them with local economic development, either through injection of some capital, and in some instances, just capacity, the skill, the human capital that will assist those. So far, we're not doing that well in this project, and it's one of those that I have been given the responsibility to drive this financial year. Last financial year, we had at least two memorandum of understanding being signed between two municipalities and business, and we are now saying that we need to see implementation of those memorandum of understanding. I must say, business is not as hostile as that towards working with government. I think the level at which we engage business sometimes bring challenges, and I must confess that on the side of the department, that was a shortcoming, where you would send a low rank official to go and meet with business people and come back without making any decisions, and as a result, then business begin to doubt you. I must say that is where the whole strategy fell between the cracks, but we are now picking it up. The Deputy Director General responsible for infrastructure and economic development have been given a written instruction to engage business himself. This is one area where the 2014 targets will need to do business unusual in order to get to them. The other one is the question where the committee was asking about the bias towards urban development versus and being silent on issues related to rural development. Chairperson, once more, let me say that the department is engaging meaningfully the Department of Rural Development in terms of the programs and the projects that they have for rural areas. But what we have also found out is that what delays development in rural areas is not necessarily the lack of money as such as it is the lack of appropriate skills. And this is why the special purpose vehicle, the SPV, which we call MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, is particularly going to be targeting 56 small towns in rural areas for projects, where they will have those engineers being attached to, and even to a point where they would have planners beginning to assist those municipalities to begin to generate their own income. The issues of the clarity with respect to the LED, the micro LED, the role of province, national and provinces, as well as the macro LED. Chairperson, let me submit that would also, together with CWP, come with a detailed report, including maybe some information on those sides of CWP, the details of what is happening there. With respect to the explanation on the 60 rand and 150 per day payment on community works program, I must say that the 60 rand is in line with the prescripts of the public works program, in line with the wage determination for the short term interventions. So this is a negotiated wage, if I may say so. We will have to come back with an answer on the 150, because I must honestly, I don't have the answer, unless if the 18 DG has. The next set of questions on page 10 relates once more to CWP and also a few advices, and we take them as directives from this committee in with respect to the best way to go around the MDG number 7 that deals with the greening and the environmental sustainability issues. We note them and we will of course incorporate that in our in our work. As I indicated earlier, the department also you alluded further on the projects of the green economy to say it must not only be done in isolation from other government interventions. We note in that. The bulk infrastructure initiatives, we also note your directive with respect to the fact that we need to cause the developers to become environmental friendly. Coming back to the issue of the former TBVC states in terms of the skewed provision of services and an uneven allocation of resources, one of the things that we have done is to begin to engage Treasury with respect to the flow of money from various to various departments. For instance, if one may come to the question that was discussed earlier, the Director General asked me to go and meet with the Accountant General to, as I was selling the idea to our Director General, that maybe the best way to deal with this issue of infrastructure maintenance would be to allocate money in a ring-fenced manner, so that you can be able to say this basket is only for infrastructure maintenance, but also saying that provinces should be encouraged to assist municipalities to come up with maintenance plans that are costed, so that Treasury knows what should be there for the MTF or even beyond. That meeting was very successful. One of the things that we said we will do immediately was for the SPV to target rural municipalities and not necessarily measure its success on the number of new projects, but also on the mainly on the number of maintenance projects that they undertake. We note further, Chairperson, all your advices, and we really thank you for your indulgence in this respect. We are aware that we have delayed you in terms of the responses, and so the DG will decide. But from the side of my side, in terms of foot soldiers, I will have to run and ask people to be ready by Friday with the necessary reports. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Anything you wanted to add, Chair?
No, Chair. I think it was more on the question that we did not respond to,
yeah.
the role of the department in terms of assisting district. I think the responsibility of the Disaster Management Center National is to support the provinces and districts in terms of the functionality of the centers, but also to assist at the level of the district in terms of identification of land suitable for this disaster management center. One of the case in point that I can think of in Mafikeng actually facilitated the process where the municipality donated land for Tungaka Mudere for the development of this district disaster management center. And actually there's a partnership with even the other local in the district to support the district center. So there are interactions. But I think the other issue which I think we'll need maybe to also share some of the policy work that the department is doing. You see, the intention behind the municipal infrastructure support agents is to actually support municipalities from the initiation stage of projects to the whole project management to the supply chain management processes up until implementation. And then the approach is that the focus should be a differentiated approach where we target your what is referred to as unviable municipalities, your low capacity municipalities. And we are doing work
thanks. Mine is only two on page 8. I'm so happy that there's something that's going on where they were in Northern Cape, where there was a disturbance in 2010. But I'm just worried because when you check the Alpens, so they said they wanted to come back to us, but this is the oldest in the disaster. I was then a physical in some Chris and in the district, Sigayetu and the municipality, Maduma and the village. Long ago, it's more than but there's nothing. I was then a physical. And also with this, we spoke to DG about. Let's leave this community work and the program, because it's not yours, it's the work. But what about the exact level? What is the department that you call? We said there are a lot of work which was supposed to be done by the department. Now, it has been outsourced. As I said, you must tell us exactly what you are going to create them a job. If you are going to link us with this community work programs, that's not what we are looking for. What we look for from you, what are we going to create? How are we going to create jobs? If you outsource everything with this municipality, everything to clean the city, outsource, and what are the resources that are supposed to do? They are common, they function. The news is supposed to do the street cleaning and all that. If they outsource everything, how are we going to create work? The thanks,
Chair. Chair, just two things. It's not directly a question here, but it links up to the issue we've raised repeatedly in the past. And if you look at your LED initiatives and so on and so forth, the issue is that Treasury, according to Treasury, if you look at the municipal sector as a whole, there's an increase in capital intensivity in their spending and labour intensivity is decreasing. So in other words, we're shedding jobs in the municipal sector. And yet, if you look at the government's targets as a whole, obviously we're looking at employment creation, yet we have a whole sector of government which is shedding jobs. My question is, how does that problem fit into your interventions here in respect of LED, of capital grants, of this and that and the other? Where's job creation instead of job shedding? The second one, and I'm not really particularly happy with the response, this issue of the former TBV states that they're underdevelopment. Your response here is, you've got to relook at the way money flows to the various departments and the SPP focus. Now, Jim, my problem here is that this is the fundamental systemic issue of the formula. The equitable share formula is a joke in respect of these particular municipalities. The poor rural municipalities are treated as pariahs. And this myth of Treasury that municipalities are 90% self-funding, and therefore the basic system works, you tinker with the edges, is a ridiculous notion. Now, we've raised this repeatedly, and my understanding is that this department, was it last year or the year before, said, yes, we agree with that, and we are in the process of negotiating with Treasury a complete rethink on the equitable share, on the funding formula. Now, the response now doesn't speak to that at all. It just talks about tinkering with what other departments are getting and SPV. I'd like to know, what is the broad, bigger strategy to solve this problem that's been on the agenda for the last 17 years?
The response to this question would have to be consistent with the response to the ad hoc committee and the subsequent meetings on that report, the ad hoc committee on 17 years. So, Peter, did you get that report?
Yeah,
no, the response.
The response, okay.
Yes, I think you must talk to Sherin to give you a copy of that. But I think the response that should be given must be in line with that. In other words, the budget document produced by Treasury. We raised this thing in our budget review report issue and the interaction. In other words, what we are asking for is really progress with implementation of the changing of that formula for that. Mati, it was you, and then I'll. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. On page 10, regarding the monitoring of the CWP and the response data that the project managers are to should be responsible for overseeing that they're all functioning correctly. That is one of the big problems which we have also experienced in the last oversight visit, that the project managers are not doing their job properly. They are not overseeing correctly, and I'd like to know what the department's role is in order to ensure that all those project managers who have been appointed are capable of doing so, and that they are sticking to what they should be doing, number one. Then, Mr. Chair, I'm going to put the cat among the pigeons here. Regarding low and high capacity municipalities, and they're graded according to the income and so on, which I think is not correct. Because you sometimes find a low capacity municipality that is graded, but it's functioning. Just because of not having funds, it doesn't mean it's not capable of having the capacity. So therefore, I don't think it should be graded as that. If you look at something like Mangaung, for instance, which is a high capacity, in spite of receiving a disclaimer, in spite of fruitless wasteful expenditure, in spite of not having an indigent register, which they only implemented about 3 months ago, yet they're getting the equitable share. How can that be high capacity when they're transgressing all those rules and regulations? Why somebody that doesn't have the money, but is good in administration, you call it low capacity? I think it should be according to their competency of what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong.
Okay.
I just want to add to your list of municipalities. This is a request for you to investigate Masilonya in the Free State. It's under administration. And we would like you to look at the issues relating to municipal infrastructure grant. We want the pattern of expenditure there in the last 2-3 years. Masilonya is the name of the municipality. Both in terms of the progress with the administrator there and the continued legality of that intervention, and others that have gone beyond the time frames that we have set. I think that's going to be important. And my last proposal to you is that before you leave Parliament today, maybe Jess can assist you with doing that. You must get hold of the SAMU presentation to the climate change hearings by the Portfolio Committee on Water. Or in fact, Shireen can help you, now that I think about it. Don't go far, Temba. Just demand it from Shireen. She'll give you that presentation. Because your responses to green issues are inadequate. They are not being polite. And inadequate. So I'd like you to look at that presentation, the full document and the presentation, because I think Shireen, if you can do that, both the presentation and the document, the narrative document itself. There's very, very useful stuff there that are doable, that can be done. They are non-contentious, many of them. And as part of the support work to municipalities, I think that's a brilliant thing. But especially also because they are like one of your key stakeholders in the municipal governance issues. They have views around how you can change the nature of work in municipalities to reflect the green agenda. It's a very powerful and progressive one, in my opinion. So look at it and tell us how you think you can work with it and so on. Where is this? Yeah, okay. And I you see, I'm going to ban you from saying mine are only going to be two. And then every moment you get inspired, you ask. You want to come back.
Yeah.
You and Kengetra fall in that category.
It's a proposition.
No excuse. Yes, go ahead.
Thanks.
Yeah.
My proposal to the department. We were doing an oversight in Free State, as I'm sure that week. There was a municipality who was using a consultant, each and everything consulted. Like before, to go back them and check what is going on there. Because the current municipality would be behind by a consultant. There's something been there and behind. And then there was a serious mismanagement of everything there. And then I phoned the councillor there. We thought that maybe the toilet something, whatever was running out, and I don't know the name of the municipality.
It's Machabin.
Machabin. Would you give us a favor, please?
Sanitation.
Even now, we were there that week.
Yeah,
it's very bad. Would do us a favor and make a follow up there, please.
It's related to, I think if you are going to go to Machabin, it's a combination of things. We raised that issue of the best infrastructure that relates to sanitation, but also the flooded water treatment or whatever waste treatment systems there and so on. That we've spoken to the MEC, the head of department of the province of the local government department, and the MEC and the minister, and I think some work can be done to fast track it. So if you can move on that one, we would really appreciate you to give us feedback by the end of the week about where the progress is. I'm told the municipal manager is acting on this thing, but we would like you to give us a more up-to-date information of the speed with which they are working on that thing. It's a very crappy thing is done. No, it's not.
I just want to add any more proposal on investigations on municipalities. You said last year in the state, I would like maybe to add that I've been listening to radio 5, there are big problems there, so that they check management problems in Paris. And also in the department's last presentation, I've asked a follow up report on a municipality that we visited through ad hoc committee.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, you see, the email system, you must talk to her after. Apparently, you've got a report in your email. So, unless you use other systems that we don't know, so please check with Sharon. She did say that she sent it to everyone. Honorable Mandela. Welcome formally again. This being a villager is a problem. You must attend all our meetings.
Thank you, Chair. I think more crucial, you should stop the departments from coming to our village and then they create other work for us. But it's a pleasure to be back with the portfolio committee. I'd also like to have an inquiry around the 114 million that the Buffalo City municipality hasn't been able to account for. If we could get a report on that.
Chairperson,
think
that we're going this road now, then.
It was agreed that then it means it was a mistake that they had spent
other words, that update is very important. It illustrates two problems of not only fiscal dumping, but the irrational punitive steps taken against municipalities without confirming and corroborating what is in the rules in the first place. So that would be very helpful to get a response to that issue. Then it illustrates the problem.
I think the department must also inform us when they come back with this report,
yes,
exactly what that 60 million, because the municipality is saying there was no name tag. It was just plain given to them.
Yes.
We would like to hear from the department side now what from their side, what it has been earmarked for. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Any comments from yourself, and then we'll close.
No,
we'll close this item and then move to the next one.
No, I just wanted to check on this last issue. Is the equitable share that we're talking about?
No, the equitable share, the first quarter equitable share of this year was withdrawn because of the non-expenditure of the 50 million, which was dumped on them without any indication of what it was meant for. In other words, what ought to have been their legitimate equitable share was withdrawn on the basis that they did not spend the 50 million, which was never in their plans anyway. So it was dumped on them without explanation what it was about. Any comments on yourself on any of the issues that has raised so far so that we can move to the next one? Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, just clarity on the question of the what is the name of the municipality which we have to investigate? No, the other one. That is using consultants.
The town to be specific. Welcome to Virginia and all that. Welcome to Virginia.
Is that on? You want it? Yeah.
No, Chair, on the just report that the department is working with the Treasury, there's an intergovernmental fiscal relations summit that is planned for early next year, which is going to one of the items that is going to be looked at in that summit is the issue of the formula in terms of funding of municipalities. There's a technical team that is working now in preparation for that summit. So I think all of these issues, including the issue of funding for infrastructure at a municipal level, these are the issues that will also be discussed. On the issue of classification, I think we agree with the Honourable Member Chair that you do find that what is usually classified as unviable municipalities, the problem is it's not necessarily a problem of the municipality. It might be just the issue of the location, because we agreed that in this country we have wall-to-wall municipalities, and some of these municipalities, they are located in areas where there are no economic opportunities, they're not able to generate any revenue. So they will continuously be dependent on the national equitable share and the grants. But the classification that we're looking at in terms of the differentiated approach is to understand these different categories of municipalities. So that your high capacity municipalities, what are the challenges they are experiencing as opposed to the other? So you'll have a different classification that won't necessarily change the current categorization, the constitutional one, but it's more about how we support the different municipalities. And I think the reports, the investigations of the Macedonian, Machaving, and the Papalo Seat, we will look at those changes. Just to make a last point, Chair, the issue of Machaving, this is a municipality where, Chair, 30 million was spent actually on that water treatment plant. But if you look at the challenges now that are experienced by that portfolio, which is why it's important for us with this partnership with the Hawks, that we actually investigate the spending of the NIC grant, that we're able then to account for what is delivered concretely on the grant. But the upgrading of that treatment plant and the amount that was spent on it, really there's no very nice to look at the challenges that we're experiencing.
Yeah. My information is that money has not been spent for the last 2 years. It has not been spent. It's still there.
It's just a plea, yeah, Chair.
No. That is much. No. Proposal now is
plea. No. Just to go, they said they want to have a summit next about the funding of the museums. Whereas I'm sure it's well overdue. I don't know whether maybe they can pull on them.
I think where there are urgent problems in certain areas, I think there is a case to be made for things to be done in the meantime. It doesn't have to wait for the summit. Yeah. The problems of intergovernmental fiscal relations can also not be solved in a week or two. They are huge, so they do require serious considerations and so on. We have a report here on the national state of fire services and so on. What is the story with this one? You want to talk to it briefly?
This was submitted as an attachment to the first presentation that
you had. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have anyone from Disaster Chair
to speak to this.
Yeah, to speak to it.
Yeah.
If we have to make this presentation, it would mean reading everything that it is like.
So we might as well go and read it ourselves, because we assume we are literate. Okay. No, look, I did hear that from Shireen that you are suggesting that. Let me point this out to you. There's an organization called the Southern African Disaster Management Summit. It's chaired by someone in Ekurhuleni, I just forget their name. So, and they did a study on this area of fire services. I don't know whether this is here. Now, and the concern we have is related to what we talked to you earlier on about disaster management. In other words, our state of readiness. The availability of fire services. When we speak about maintenance area, it includes this area as well. So this is a very serious issue. It's not only an assessment in the country of whether we have, as the law requires, availability of fire services within appropriate radiuses and so on, and the capacity building and training that is related to this issue. We are also interested in the state of health of the board, whether it exists and is alive and is doing any work that used to be in which the deputy minister before used to participate in. What is the current issue with that? I hope it's in here, that thing. If it's not, we really would like to hear this. This is a part of our concern about the degree and level of concern about disaster management in our country. And its manifestation is in the state of health about it in the department itself first, before we go anywhere else. And we notice with interest that there are two seminars, not seminars, but conferences. One is hosted by the State Information Technology Agency and other people, and the Department of Communication, I think,
disaster management require that each of the departments must have a strategy for the security of documentation and things like those and so on. If the state of ICTs is what it is in the many municipalities, then it means, but also we must ask about the provincial and national departments as well. So this is a broader question. So when you respond to it, really, it would be very useful to get to understand how people are dealing with this issue, because it would be ridiculous. You see, when the police station was bombed the other day here, or set alight somewhere else and so on, that illustrated the degree to which such a vulnerability could be a natural one, not necessarily a person-made disaster, such as that one where clearly the intention was to destroy information and data and so on. So if there isn't preparedness, then we run the risk of increasing our vulnerability if we do not pay serious attention, both at political and administration, to mobilize every department and every municipality to really take this issue seriously. So this is a part of the disaster management story. This fire services thing, we really would like to see things done about it here. Honorable Bota, I would like you to give an opportunity to give a vote of thanks. I have done my work now, and you haven't said a word.
One question. During the course of this presentation, there have been a number of reports with you, which you're going to get back to us with. Can we have some timing on that, some undertaking as to when we'll be able to meet again and get all these reports? There's at least half a dozen here.
Yeah, I did say that we won them yesterday, meaning you can't go beyond 2 weeks, really. Yeah, I'm being also generous. 2 weeks is enough so that we get indication of this report. Some of these things, we assume they exist already somewhere. They just need to be packaged appropriately as responses to these things that are here. Yeah. Rather than ask, I would rather suggest. Yes. Okay. Honorable Water, you want to indulge us? We just want to hear your voice. What's your vote of thanks?
No, thank you, Chair. Let me, on behalf of the committee, thank the department, the acting DG and the chief operating officer, for responding to the questions the portfolio committee has raised, and of course being honest to say that some of the areas where you have not been able to prepare information, you come back and to respond to those questions, and that's very useful. And I think the committee can only be enriched with cooperation and the facts that the department provide at all opportune time, so that at least when we debate issues, we know that we're debating facts or based on facts. So I'd like, and also thank the members of the portfolio committee for asking questions, and including Mr. Machoba here next to me. He's done a good job. Thank you very much.
The new phone.
No, members, thank you very much. I think we should, before you move, we would like to, we should have started with observing a moment of silence. Honorable Busihu, a member of this committee, lost her husband. So I think just let's observe a moment of silence, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
about that.
Oh, yeah, that was. What was that? It was.
Okay. Talk to us. You asked for this brief session. Let's talk about it. The idea is really just to talk about what do we do, and give us an update if you have any. I think there's a sense in which we have some information, and decide how we handle this one. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I think for the committee, maybe for a member to lost a key net of kin partner, it's for the first time since we are together, because others would say, are we going to continue this one? But I thought, because Mayor Shebo is with us in the committee, so we agreed with some of the members informally, so that we must contribute something and send on behalf of the committee a condolence card and something to assist. Maybe some question will raise that, are we going to continue with others, or but for meantime for this one, maybe afterwards we'll wake up as a committee, come up with a policy or what, or not, how are we going to handle this thing. But on this one, because it's our first time, we come across such an incident, so we thought that maybe we, as a member, each and every member, must contribute something, and we buy a condolence card and send it to the family. According to funeral details, we haven't received anything. I sent a message on behalf of the committee, condolence message, on as soon as I received the message, and then I forwarded the message to members, but we inform members at due course when we receive. And also I think maybe we'll urge members as soon as we receive funeral details, maybe some members on behalf of the portfolio committee will go there to present the committee.
May I just add, Chair? Yeah, the latest, because I also phoned him, and then the funeral will be on Saturday. And then she said to me, usually they are using them at 7 o'clock. Maybe she's not sure about time, but usually they are using them at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.